Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi, with the Women's Initiative of the OU. My name is Dina Rabinovich, and I will be learning with you the Mizmorim composed by Asaf. Asaf composed a total of 12 Mizmorim. The first was Mizmor Nun. This Mizmor, Mizmor Pei, is his ninth. He will continue speaking through Mizmor Pei Gimel. We have established that there are certain basic questions to employ that can help you understand what a Mizmor is talking about. For example, who is speaking and to whom, what was the occasion, and what musical instruments were being used. In the last several Mizmorim, the speaker has been Asaf, but as we begin this Mizmor, we see some terms that were not previously used. Lamnatzeach el Shoshanim, Edut le'Asaf Mizmor. The two new terms here are Shoshanim and Edut. We will explain both in a minute. Second, some of the other terms used later on in the Mizmor are also different from what we usually see. For example, the way God is addressed, Hashem Elokim Tzvakot, or the name for the Aron Kodesh, Yoshev HaKruvim, or even which Shvatim, our tribes, are being listed, Ephraim, Binyamin, and Menashe. We only have these three tribes described, and these three in a seemingly random order. To add to the unusual or interesting features of this Mizmor, we have a refrain that repeats itself four times, and we have a rather extended reference to a grapevine. Let us begin to decipher these unusual features to help us best understand what Asaf is saying. Lamnatzeach el Shoshanim, Edut le'Asaf Mizmor. Lamnatzeach, to the conductor. Al Shoshanim. Shoshanim can be the name of a musical instrument, as Mitzudat Zion explains, or perhaps a song they knew then about Shoshanim, or a melody used for that tune. Rashi says it is a term to refer to Bnei Israel. Edut, from the word ed, means a testimony, a witness. It is used by God to describe Shirat Ha'azinu, which says at the end of Sefer Devarim, Leman tiyeli hashira hazot le'ed b'Bnei Israel, so that this song will be a witness for me against Bnei Israel. It was first used in Sefer Tehillim in Mizmor Samech, which also features the term Shoshan, which is the singular of Shoshanim. That Mizmor refers to a historical event, David fighting the battles with Aram. Asaf is composing a song to help remember something important. But what event is he trying to remember? We don't get a precise reference, but we do have those unusual terms. Let's return back to them and see if they can provide a clue. First, there is the way that God is addressed, Hashem Elokim Tzvakot. The first person associated with referring to Hashem as Hashem Tzvakot is Chana, when she begged Hashem in the first parak of Shmuel Aleph to have a son. What about the name for the Aron Kodesh? Back in Shirat Ha'azinu, the Aron is referred to as Aron Brit Hashem, the Aron celebrating the covenant with Hashem. In Sefer Shmot, when Hashem gives the command to build the structure, the phrase Aron Atzei Shittim, an Aron made from acacia trees, is used. The same term, Aron Atzei Shittim, is used in Melachim Aleph when Shlomo builds the Beit HaMikdash. The only time the Aron Kodesh is called Yoshev HaKruvim, sitting on the Kruvim, is in the beginning of Shmuel Aleph, and specifically when the Aron is brought out to battle against the Plishtim. The Aron at this time was housed in the Mishkan in the city of Shiloh, which was in the portion of Shevet Ephraim. The battle that will be fought with the Plishtim is in the nearby cities of Afek and Evan Ha'ezer, which are also in the area of Ephraim, with the land of Menashe and Binyamin immediately to the north and the south. The combination of these terms and the Shvatim has led Rabbi Yochanan Samet of Michlelet Herzog and Yeshivat Haaretzion to list the following historical framework for the beginning of Mizmor Pei, the war of Bnei Israel against the Plishtim, and the destruction of Shiloh. What is the context for the battle? For that, we have to go back to the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, when we were first introduced to Eli, the Kohen Gadol at the time, who was also a shofet, or judge, living in Shiloh. We are introduced also to Eli's two sons, Hophni and Pinchas, who, in the words of the Navi, are Bnei Belial. Vatihi chatat ha'na'arim gedola me'od et pnei Hashem, kini atzu ha'anashim et minchat Hashem. The sin of the young men was very great before Hashem, for the men dealt contemptuously with the offering of the Lord. Hophni and Pinchas, the two sons of Eli, are desecrating the korbanot by improperly bringing the korbanot and dismissive of the people who come to the Mishkan with the korbanot. Eli, their father, tries to warn them, but not nearly harshly enough. An Ish Elokim, a Navi, comes to warn them, but they don't listen. Shmuel's first prophecy told to Eli is about the forthcoming catastrophe to Eli's family and to Bnei Israel, but this warning also falls on deaf ears. Bnei Israel head out to battle the Plishtim in the beginning of Perek Dalet in Shmuel Aleph and suffer terrible losses. The word used is vayinagef, which calls to mind a magifa, or plague. In preparing for the second battle, Bnei Israel decide to call for the Aron. Vayishlach ha'am shilo, vayis'u misham et Aron brit Hashem tzvakot yoshef ha'kruvim. The people sent to Shiloh, and they brought from there the Ark of the Covenant of Hashem of Hosts, who sits upon the Kruvim. Visham b'nei Eli, im Aron brit ha'lokim, Hophni u'Pinchas. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Pinchas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of Hashem. Notice what Bnei Israel don't do in preparation for the battle. They don't do tshuvah. They don't pray to Hashem. Notice also who they select to accompany the Aron, Hophni and Pinchas, previously described as chataim, as sinners, as Bnei Belial, without morals. What does it say about a nation who are willing to let amoral people be in charge of the Aron? The devastation of the second battle is even greater than the first. This time, 30,000 men die. This time, Hophni and Pinchas die. This time, the Aron is captured by the Plishtim. This is the event referred to in the beginning of Mizmor Pei. The first stanza references the time between the first and the second battles. The second stanza references the time after the second battle, when the Aron has been captured. As a side note, we see the same image of Hashem as a shepherd that we have seen in the previous three Mizmorim. The first stanza is a tefillah, a prayer, and is an optimistic in tone. Ro'e Yisrael ha'azina, nohe katzon Yosef, Yosef ha'krufim hofia. You, Hashem, shepherd of Bnei Israel, listen to our prayers. You who lead Yosef like sheep, who sit upon the Kruvim, appear to us. Lifnei Ephraim uvinyamim uminashe, orara et gvoratecha, ulecha lishuata lanu. Before Ephraim and Binyamin and Menashe, reveal your strength and come to rescue us. We begin to understand the order of the Shvatim. First we have Ephraim, who's considered the Bechor, who's considered to be the firstborn of Shevet Yosef. And then we have Binyamin, whose reference will be a messenger comes from Binyamin to tell about the war, and then finally we have Menashe. These were the three Shvatim where the devastation was most felt. Elokim Hashivenu Vaha'er Panecha V'Nivashea. O Hashem, bring us back to you and light up your face so that we may be rescued. Hashem is referred to as the Ro'e Israel, the shepherd of Bnei Israel, and is appealed to come and save Bnei Israel. Nowhere does it suggest that Bnei Israel do something to change their ways. Rather, we are beseeching Hashem for help. The next section of the Mizmor shifts. Now we hear words of complaint, a tluna. The language is more bitter and more sharp. Hechaltem lechem dim'a v'tashkemo b'dim'ot shalish. You fed your nation bread of tears. You bring them afflictions all the time so that they cry all the time. You feed them a triple measure of tears. Tesimenu madon lishchinenu v'oivenu yilagu lamo. Our neighbors have a reason to fight us. Our enemies mock us. And again the refrain. Elokim tzvakot hashivenu v'ha'er panecha v'nivashea. God of the hosts, return us to you. Light up your face so that we can be saved. Have the people realized the extent of their culpability and what has transpired? Notice they don't claim the devastation was unfair. They don't ask for mercy. They appeal to God with Mayom Ru Hagoyim. What will the other nations say about the power of God if your nation is destroyed? According to Rav Samet, the final 12 psukim of the Mizmor can also be broken into two stanzas. The first a tluna, a complaint, and the final section a tefillah. Both of these revolve around a story of a vineyard. What has happened to this vineyard? Gefen mimitzrayim tasiya tegaresh goyim v'tita e'ha. You carried a vine out of Egypt. You drove away nations and planted it. Pinita lefaneha v'tashresh sharasheha v'timaleh aretz. You cleared space before it and removed all obstacles that would prevent the vine from spreading. The vine gave root and spread. Kasu harim tzila va'anafeha arzekel. The mountains were covered by its shade. Even the tall cedar trees were covered. Teshalach kitzireha ad yam ve'el nahar yon koteha. You sent forth the vine to the sea and the shoots of the vine to the river. Lama paratzta gedareha va'aruha kolavrei derech. Why did you break through the wall so that all who pass by could pluck it? Yecharsemena chazir miya'ar viziv sadai yirena. The boar from the forest gnawed it, and the swarm of the field fed upon it. And what is Asaf's request at the end of the tefillah? Elokim tzvakot, shuvna habet mishamayim. God of the armies, please come back and look down upon the heavens, ure ufakod gefen zot, and take note and remember this vine. In this final section, we revert back to our story and see references to the tribes from Rachel, Binyamin in the term Ish Yeminecha, and to Yosef in the phrase Al Ben Adam Imatzdalach, on the son of man whom you have made strong. What is Asaf trying to teach Bnei Israel then, and what can it mean to us now? Let's return to the historical setting, the catastrophic battle against the Plishtim in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. It is after the fateful battle of Perek Dalet that Shmuel takes over as leader. At least 20 years elapsed since the Aron was returned by the Plishtim to Bnei Israel. During that time, Shmuel helps Bnei Israel in two different realms, the first between man and man, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, and the second between man and God, Ben Adam L'Makom. For the former, he becomes a shofet, a judge, and is constantly traveling between cities to help Bnei Israel mediate disputes. For the latter, we see him in Perek Zion gathering Bnei Israel from all different cities. He's teaching them how to do tshuva, to remove the idols they had in their possessions, to worship only Hashem. In fact, from the list of areas that he helps Bnei Israel improve, we get more details about what was going wrong in the beginning of the Sefer. The Plishtim see Bnei Israel gathering and come and attack. This time, Bnei Israel creamed the Plishtim and sent the Plishtim back to the cities on the coast, ensuring peace for many years. And our takeaway? We can't go through the motions. We can't skip steps in developing and maintaining our relationships with God. Objects are of value because of what they represent and not what they are. The Aron Kodesh should have reminded Bnei Israel about Hashem and about how that they had to turn to Hashem in their time of need. Bringing the Aron should have been part of a game plan that included tefillah and tshuvah like it did later on in the Sefer. Instead, Bnei Israel view the Aron like they would a good luck charm and think that miraculously God will help them win the war. Rabbi Huda Amital of Yeshivat Haaretz Zatzal used to say, En patentim, there are no shortcuts. You can't bring the Aron and help it would magically change your fate. Change can only occur after much thought and effort and intention. Thank you for studying together. Li'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.